This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. For a look at this week's livestock markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
When we look at the livestock markets, we rallied on Monday to start the week as the live cattle futures tried to close the gap somewhat with the cash market. Last week's cash trade was mostly 158 to 160, a few of them down to 156. But the 158 to 160 on a live basis caught the bulk of the trade. And with the February contract going off the board, that left the lead April contract at quite a discount. Rallied up into an area chart congestion, did not have the strength to push through it. So now as we come, it's turnaround Tuesday, traders selling down from that area of chart resistance, and we're seeing weakness return. Same thing in the feeder cattle market with weakness in the fat cattle. There's simply not the enthusiasm at the sale barn to push prices higher. We've got some pretty stiff resistance for the lead March contract at that 205 level, and nothing happening at the sale barn to necessarily prove them wrong in doing that.
This winter, the hog industry had expected another outbreak of the PED virus. That outbreak never came to fruition. Suderman goes over the market impact of the rapidly growing U.S. hog numbers.
Well, we will see a new quarterly hogs and pigs report come out later this month to try to get a handle on just what the scope of the expansion of the hog industry has been over the last several months. But generally, when you look at the numbers, we're slaughtering more hogs than we did a year ago and at heavier weights, and the supply is overwhelming the demand. We did see the poor weather slow the movement of hogs to packing plants, and that allowed the cash market over the last five or six trading days to move higher, and that's been encouraging, but the product market really has not followed through in that trend. And so the product continues overall to be in a downtrend, and that's not bullish long term. We tried to rally the futures market based on that stabilization of the cash market, but the general fear is now that once the weather improves and those hogs go to market, that they'll be at heavier weights and we'll just add that much more supply to the anemic demand.
Although hog prices may be dropping, both hog and cattle owners have a bright spot, and that is the low feed prices.
Well, certainly both are enjoying the cheaper corn prices. I know both cattlemen and hogmen would like to see the cheaper corn prices reducing their input costs, and they're certainly glad with these prices, particularly for hogs, that we're not looking at the $6 corn prices. But margin suppression has gone across agriculture now, both for the crop producer and for the livestock producer. We're seeing that margin suppression, and it means they just have to work that much harder at trying to hit singles and doubles in their marketing and their risk management plans.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. USDA is getting set to release its prospective plantings report later this month. The report is the first survey-based estimates of U.S. farmers' planting intentions for the year. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service mailed survey questionnaires to 82,000 of the nation's farmers for the March Agricultural Survey in late February. NAS Census and Survey Division Director Barbara Rader explains how farmers can respond to the survey.
We give them an opportunity to either complete the questionnaire and mail it back to us. We give them an option to complete an online questionnaire. And if they prefer, we can either give them a telephone call by one of our trained interviewers, or we will send one of our field interviewers out to visit them and collect the data that way. So really, we give farmers a lot of flexibility in how they can provide us the data based on what their preference is.
Rader also explains the importance of the March Ag Survey.
I've worked in service to agriculture for 28 years, and I find that the information that we provide to producers and really to all our citizens gives everyone an equal playing field. I want to thank the producers that provide us the information on this survey for taking their valuable time to provide us this critical information for decision making.
The prospective plantings report will be released at noon Eastern Time on March 31st. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. The 17th annual Illinois Products Expo will be taking place at the Illinois State Fairgrounds this weekend. Luke Saylor with the Illinois Department of Agriculture says the Products Expo gives Illinois-based businesses a chance to showcase their wares and give attendees the chance to support their local economy.
All the vendors that you'll see this weekend, they're small startup companies. You'll see some of the products already in your local grocery stores. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, when you come out this weekend, you're not only helping, you know, the vendors and everything like that, you're honestly helping the entire Illinois economy. All these companies are established, made right here in Illinois, and everything they sell is an Illinois product. You know, as an Illinoisan myself, it's just very humbling to think that, you know, we are the land of opportunity and have all these, you know, startup businesses that are coming to be pretty phenomenal things here across the state. This is actually my first show coming on board here at the department, and just in my time, you know, being here and what I've heard from the past, we just continue to grow each year. I think we're so fortunate here in Illinois to see that, you know, we have 70 vendors coming this weekend. We have people on our waiting list wanting to come. I think it just shows that Illinois is a state that opportunity exists.
Saylor said the event draws vendors from all over the state, giving attendees the chance to discover businesses that are close to their area. With the wide array of vendors, Saylor said there's something to capture anyone's interest.
We've got vendors from as far as Carbondale South to all the way north of Chicago. So we're just very fortunate to have all these different vendors come, you know, and flock to the Illinois State Fairgrounds this weekend. It's just a great, great event for everyone. I was checking the extended forecast, and it looks like the weather is going to be absolutely beautiful this weekend. So, you know, for everyone like me that has cabin fever, it'd be great to get out and come to the fairgrounds. We'd love to see you. You know, we've got, like I said, over 70 vendors coming. We have anything from pizza, salsa, fudge, cheese. Our wine garden is going to be another big attraction this year. We have over 20 wineries scheduled to attend. So it's literally an event for people of all ages.
For more information on the Illinois Products Expo, Saylor encourages everyone to check out their online resources.
They can go to our website. It's just the Illinois Agriculture website. Or also they can go to our Expo vendor page, which is www.agr.state.il.us/marketing/expo. That'll take you to a list of all of our vendors that'll be there. You'll kind of get to pick and shoot, you know, see what vendors are going to be there, kind of get a mindset of what you're in the need for. And, you know, we hope you can hit up all the booths that'll be set up for this weekend. It's just going to be a great, great time for all, from ice cream to pizza to fudge to salsa to your meats and cheeses and wine. It's just something for everybody, and we cannot wait for this weekend and hope to see everyone there.
Again, the 17th Annual Illinois Products Expo will be March 7th and 8th at the Illinois State Fairgrounds inside the Orr Building. Admission to the expo is $5 at the door and free to children 10 and under. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.